I don't even know what the title of this is going to be. What should the title of this be?
Duel of the something. Can't be Duel of the Fates, because that's...
Duel of the Zax.
And Duel of the Zax.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of My Life, Your Life Together. This is Zach, as always, and I am joined once again by Zach Jenkins.
Hello.
And
hello there.
Hello there. The angel from my nightmare. And that's all I know of the song, so we'll move on. Blink 182.
See, I was making a Star Wars reference.
Oh, yeah. General Kenobi. See? I should have tagged onto that, because that is what today's episode is going to be about. We are going to be diving into the universe of Star Wars. So a much different episode than what Zach and I gave you
the last time,
which, if you haven't heard, is out now. Type 1 Diet Buddies. Go download it, listen to it, get a feel that Zach and I have the ability to be more than just funny nerds. We can also die slowly. No. No, go listen to podcasts to figure out why that's not true.
Facts.
There we go. So Star Wars. Zach is a self-proclaimed Star Wars nerd. I love Star Wars. It is one of my favorite franchises and universes, but I'll be honest, there's a lot I don't know about it. And as I was like getting ready for this episode, I realized like I need to up my game and learn everything about Star Wars. So that's what I'm committed to do right now. But before we started, I wasn't able to hit record fast enough. Zach had proposed a question to me that is not on the agenda, but I'll take it. And the question was,
what is the best duel in Star Wars?
Are we talking live action, or are we including like the Clone Wars animation, Rebels, which I haven't seen all of Rebels. I haven't even seen all of the Clone Wars.
Oh, man.
Because I started watching it and I got severely sidetracked. Believe that? Me get sidetracked? I'll be darned. Wow.
You were such a focused, like laser focused individual.
Do you have a favorite duel?
Oh, I've got a couple, but okay. I would say yes to the animated series just because there are some awesome duels in there.
There are. And I haven't, like I said, I haven't even watched all of them.
If you haven't finished them, then you've missed one of the best duels in all of Star Wars.
I need to get back on it, but I can only watch it when I'm home alone because Lex doesn't like watching, as she puts it, cartoons. And I tried to tell her it's like animation, and she doesn't understand the difference. And let's be honest, there isn't a difference. But
true.
This is good stuff.
Well,
and I'm not watching like Ed, Edd n Eddy over here.
Right. And it's crazy because like Clone Wars, when it started out, the Clone Wars animated series.
The 2D Clone Wars on Cartoon
Well,
Network.
That one was also super cool, although unfortunately that's not canon anymore.
And I'm going to preface this with what we're going to talk about today is canon and legends all combined. Yeah. I don't differentiate. Star Wars is Star Wars is Star Wars. And if you don't like it, I don't care.
Get over it.
Yeah.
But the animated series, so like Clone Wars, when it first started, it was kind of cheesy but by the time you got like deep into it, it was actually kind of an intense show. Like,
yeah.
Especially when you get into like the sixth and like the seventh, the final season, like, holy crap. Stuff gets real.
I've heard. Literally only in like season three, probably. Like, I'm just scraping the
surface.
You're
just starting
three.
To get into where it gets good. Like, the first two seasons are a little like,
Yeah, and I enjoyed those. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hit me with your favorite duel.
Okay. So, for me, as a millennial, right? So, I grew up with the prequels.
Yep.
Which, it's funny.
Wait, but did you see the prequels before you saw the original trilogy?
No.
Okay.
I saw the original trilogy. Okay. Like, I remember watching, you know, like A New Hope 47 times on VHS as a kid.
Yes.
But I was like, what, 9 when Phantom Menace came out? So all these people that like hated on the prequels, I still thought they were cool because I was a kid and I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, just those old boomers.
Yeah. Thanks, boomers.
Yeah, for a lot more than that.
But Duel of the Fates is always going to be one of my favorite duels of all time because it was the first, I mean, it was the first major lightsaber duel we've seen since the original, and Darth Maul was such an awesome, iconic Sith, like, villain, you know? And it introduced, like, you'd never seen double-bladed lightsaber before.
I remember when that, like, the trailer dropped, and it's, and I was thinking about this today, like, the trailer dropped or whatever, and you see Darth Maul in the desert, and the speeder coming by him, and, like, he turns on his lightsaber and one end comes out. You're like, all right, cool. And then the second end came out. And you're like, I remember 7 year old me was like, hold up a second. You can't do that. Yeah. Oh my God. It blew my mind. Duel of Fates is obviously, I think one of the best ones. And now that I'm older, I appreciate the fact that the score and the musical composition to accompany it is part of what brings that duel to life. Like, it's like without the score, it's great. It's fantastic, choreographed, like, it's intense. But with the music,
it was insane. Well,
it's hot in here.
And that's the other thing, too, was like, you think of, I look at the evolution of lightsaber duels. When it started, you think of the first one you ever saw with old Ben Kenobi and Darth Vader. And you look at it now and it's kind of like it's super slow, like not dynamic or acrobatic at all. It's like, but it was very almost what George Lucas originally intended as like this space samurai type.
Space opera. Not space samurai. Space opera. You're wrong. Space opera. Space
Western
opera.
Samurai.
Okay, that's fine.
Opera.
Okay, that's fine.
But it was very, and then it progressively got more dynamic as the original trilogy went along, and then you come into episode one, and you've got multiple Jedi, because before we'd only ever seen one-on-one, right? And now you've got like two-on-one double-bladed lightsaber, people are doing flips and like all sorts of, it was just, it was awesome. And like 9 year old me was just sitting there in the theater, like in awe. Like,
so I still have my admission ticket to opening weekend of The Phantom Menace.
That's awesome. Yeah. I wish I did.
It's upstairs, but like little me had it in my pocket and I was like rubbing it the whole time. So it's like cracked. It's bent. You can barely read it.
It's all faded.
I know what it is.
So I would also have to say one of my other favorite ones is the Anakin Obi-Wan duel from episode 3.
I'm not familiar. How does that one end? Can you walk me through that?
The low ground wins.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know, you always want to get below your opponent and then try to get over them.
Okay.
Yeah. Works out well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you on Dueling Fates for the reasons that I've already said. But along those lines, I want to say, I think it was Attack of the Clones with Yoda and Count Dooku.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first time you really see Yoda freak out because that's his first CGI appearance, right? And so they're doing him all do this crazy stuff. And I know some people don't like CGI Yoda. That's fine. I like puppet Yoda. I like CGI Yoda for like the quote unquote younger one, given he's what, like 800
something years old.
Yeah. CGI is fine for that, flip it around. And then like old man Yoda, 900 in Dagobah. That's fine with a puppet as he's like,
Yeah, as he's like welcome barely moving around. Yeah. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. So that's probably one of my favorite ones too.
I will agree. It was awesome seeing Yoda fight. I was super stoked when I knew that, like, when the trailers came out and I knew Yoda was going to, like, we were going to actually see him fight.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my God, he threw away his walking stick. He's got his little lightsaber, and then he's flipping off walls and grunting and groaning.
Yeah, especially because, like, you think back to when you watched the originals, and when Luke is going to Dagobah to find this old wise like Jedi warrior master, and then you find out it's Yoda, And kind of like Luke, you're like, what? You're him? And you think back like, this guy could never be, you know, some super BA, you know, warrior. And then you actually get to see it. It was cool.
Oh, snap. He was a grandmaster. Grandmaster General.
I can nerd out about Obi-Wan and Anakin's fight real quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I cut you off.
Because that, just the choreography of it was amazing, but also the emotion behind it. Like, while there was plenty of directing and dialogue mistakes that happened with the prequels or things that were a little cheesy, like, that fight was done right. It was epic. It was emotional. And it was like, it was just crazy. And you actually saw the actual emotion between them from the relationship of like two brothers fighting. And if you know the backstory of it, like with how powerful Anakin is, but the fact that Obi-Wan has raised him and trained him and knows everything, that like that's the only way that Obi-Wan was able to beat him, was because Obi-Wan knew him so well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, as far as a power level, like, there was no way that Obi-Wan was going to...
Watch yourself.
Trust me, we'll get into stuff like this later with questions.
I'm going to fight you right now.
But on a pure power level, like, and skill level, the only way Obi-Wan was able to beat him was because of
on his... On a skill level? I'll give you power level, not skill level.
So
the fight itself is arguing that Obi-Wan is more skilled because he literally knows battle position and tactics.
Well, correct. I will take that back. You're correct. Skill level. A lot of people would say that Anakin is the better duelist, and I think on a broad level, yes, but Obi-Wan is the master of form four. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the defensive style of... See, I said I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, which I am, but I'm not like...
You don't remember all the forms for dueling?
Jemso, Sarisu, Ataru.
So Ataru, the way of Hawkbat, the aggression form.
Or is it form 5? I could have sworn it was 5, form but... 4.
Okay,
so maybe Anakin uses the form 4 because Obi-Wan used the defensive form and essentially stayed on the defensive until he was able to get his positioning correct on a good piece of ground. And
so form 3 is Sarisu, the defensive Sarisu.
Okay.
The defensive style. And then form 4 is acrobatic or aggressive. Form 2 would be elegance, graceful. Form 1 is the oldest. And then we have...
Because Jemso, I think, is that form 5?
Yes. Two fluid disciplines of lightsaber combat, which were considered physically demanding styles due to the requirement of quick transitions and dedicated defensive stances to all-out attacks. So it's more like a riposte kind of fighting.
So it was either... Because I thought Anakin used form 5, which was a very... Either way, Anakin used the one that was very focused on power attacks and overwhelming your opponent with just sheer like power and aggression.
You're right, form 5.
And
you're so smart.
Obi-Wan used, what was it, form 3, Sarisu, which was defensive. And he kept on the defensive, basically just warding off these power attacks from Anakin the whole time until he could get a good position. And the funny thing was... He set himself up, and Anakin, knowing Obi-Wan's history, in his arrogance, Anakin tried to use the same move that Obi-Wan used to defeat Maul, he tried to use against Obi-Wan. But Obi-Wan saw it coming because, hey, Obi-Wan used it to defeat Maul. That same,
or
like...
Or did he defeat Maul?
No, well, he defeated him, he just didn't finish him off in that sword fight. So... It was super wild, and technically, if you look into the four, I'm a nerd on this stuff, which is also, I guess, why we're talking about it. But he used what was considered a banned or like prohibited move, to disarm Anakin.
Correct.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a move that was literally intended to just take off the limbs of your opponent. And
homeboy's got to learn.
Yeah, it's supposedly not considered like a dark side move, but like
not
an honorable,
not kosher.
Yeah. But anyway, so that it I just thought that duel was super cool.
It was. And to double back to something you had said, like 11 and 12 year old us weren't thinking about CGI or like bad anything.
Right.
So like watching those movies, like we didn't care if it was quote unquote cheesy because it wasn't cheesy to us.
Yeah.
Like it to us, awesome. The original trilogy was cheesy, right?
I mean, I still thought the original trilogy was also awesome.
It was. So we've talked a lot about duels. We've gotten into a few.
Real quick. One more duel. That you have to. I'm not going to say anything about it because you haven't seen it yet, but talking about the Clone Wars, you have to watch season 7 and watch Ahsoka and Darth Maul's duel. It's phenomenal. And it's so cool because it was actually a real duel with. I can't remember his name. The guy that played Darth Maul in the movie, in the live action movie. I forget his name too. They did motion tracking for that animation. So it's not like
he was full. Like a legit martial artist.
Oh yeah.
It was cool. Like
he's an actual martial artist, sword fighter, stuntman.
Do you think that's why they didn't give him any lines in probably in acting? Because they were like, oh, you're a martial artist, just shut up and do flips and captivate people. And he did
and it worked.
Exactly that.
Well, and honestly, even the fact that he didn't really talk much made him all the more like menacing.
So we've talked a lot about duels and who would win and who is more powerful. So for Jedi, who's the most powerful Jedi in your opinion?
Okay. So Rey's the most powerful Jedi of all time. I'm just kidding. Everyone just shut, like clicked delete and shut off the podcast. I'm totally kidding. I'm not.
John Boyega.
Yes, most powerful Jedi ever. So as far as the actual like canon and story.
It can be whoever, like I said.
Well, and it can also be Legends, right? Like Legends gets a little wild though. Like,
yeah.
When you start talking about. But I think Luke Skywalker is the most powerful Jedi of all time, but they don't show it well in the movies. If you get into like the books and stuff like that, like he really is, because some of the stuff he does, he just, no one else does, you know. The movies don't depict him very well.
Correct.
That's one of many reasons I don't like the newest trilogy, the Disney trilogy, because they just made Luke Skywalker this kind of like pissy, like bitter old man.
Exactly. That can't do anything. Took him from like.
The hero,
but still novice in his own respect to fat, grumpy Luke, which I personally love. I don't have an issue with fat, grumpy Luke. Like, I kind of want to be him when I grow up. But they didn't do him any favors. He was at the top of my list, too, because I think there were just going to be a few that were going to be at the top of the list no matter what. Like, him and Yoda, there was just like...
I was going to say Yoda's up there.
And then we'll discuss it in a minute here, but like I picked somebody else just in terms of because they are cool, but also so powerful in my opinion at the same time. But like, so go ahead with Luke.
So how about we do a top three?
Okay, we can do a top three because I think we both have Luke and Yoda in our top three. Yes. So then it's just
so Luke and Yoda. I'm gonna do one honorable mention before I give you my third.
Okay, why is your honorable mention?
My
Obi-Wan?
Honorable mention is actually Anakin, not because he didn't make the top three because he never achieved it, but he had the potential for it. And in the books, he did some wild stuff too. But he's not in my top three. He's not in my top three.
I'm gonna cut that.
He is not in my top three. Second honorable mention, I would say, is Obi-Wan. not necessarily because he's the most powerful, but I think he's one of the smartest.
Well, intelligence is a form of power.
True. Because if you actually look at Obi-Wan was not naturally gifted in any way, shape, or form.
He's got great hair, though.
He does have great hair and a great accent.
Oh, I thought you were going to say great ass.
Not my type. But he was as middle of the road as any Jedi could be as far as like natural gifting in force powers, in dueling ability. But he took that and became one of the greatest Jedi of all time by being super intelligent, a great tactician, and mastering what he was. He took what he was best at, found like what he was good at, and became like the absolute best, which is why he's now considered the master of Form 3 Sarisu. Like he became the best because he wasn't like super strong, super like overpowerful in the force. He wasn't super agile and acrobatic. So he took what he could do and became the absolute best. So
he found his niche and he mastered it. Like, and that's fine.
So I would say my number three would be Mace Windu.
Okay.
For the reasons that, one, he is super powerful in the force.
Yes.
He's a very powerful force user. And at the time, his era, he was also considered, it was either him or Master Yoda was the best duelist of his era. Like,
true.
And the fact that he was the only Jedi to ever master Form 7, his iteration of Form 7, which was Vapod or Vapid, however it's.
You pronounce it however you want.
But the fact that, and in, this is canon, George Lucas said it, he did in fact beat Emperor Palpatine.
He did.
So, out of George Lucas's own mouth.
But he was weak.
Well, yeah, but...
Except not really, because he wanted to kill him, right? Like...
Yeah.
He wanted to kill him. Who's...
Are you saying... Yeah, Windu wanted to kill...
Yeah,
he was going to kill...
had him incapacitated, but then got distracted by Anakin.
Yeah, and then Anakin cut off his arm when Mace Windu went to go strike him down. And then that's when Palpatine used force lightning on him. But, and the thing, and one of the reasons why he was able to defeat Emperor Palpatine and Yoda wasn't, because Yoda was actually a more powerful force wielder, and I would argue a more powerful Jedi overall than Mace Windu. But Mace Windu using Vapid is where he actually turns the dark side force power of his enemy against him through Vapod.
Vapod. And
so, yeah, I would say those are my top three. There, I could go on and do like 47 different honorable mentions because there's
a lot
of
awesome
ones. Well,
I feel like at that point, your honorable mentions can be totaled later when I ask who your favorite is.
But, yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I mean, so Luke was a top, was like a shoe-in for a top for me. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you, A New Hope Luke, he's the whiniest son of a gun I've ever met in my life. But then the back end of the original trilogy, like, oh my God, okay, like... He's fine now. He's not baby anymore.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, in the new trilogy that came out, he's grumpy, old, bitter. I mean, I guess for good reason, he raised a mass murderer who killed all of his students.
Yeah.
And was in part related to. Do I have to spoiler alert at this point?
At this point, if it's a spoiler for you, that's your own fault.
Yeah, idiot. Go see a movie.
The movies and series have been out for years. decades.
But like at the end of the day, like if somebody says Star Wars, you think of Luke. You think of Mark Hamill's face. Yeah. So like Luke's up there. Yoda, because I genuinely think he was the most powerful. I mean, you don't live that long. You don't rise the way he did. I think he had the intelligence, the fighting power, and then the patience. Which aggression and patience don't typically go hand in hand, but he had mastered the art of aggression and patience. Mm-hmm.
He had power under voluntary control.
Yes. So, I mean, like, that's Yoda, and he's just amazing.
And he's like, looks like this little tiny frog guy, and he's like super powerful and awesome. Yeah, I agree. Also, some of the things from like Legends universe that Luke did, like he could pull out the Force in people's minds and create Jedi. I mean, he actually at one point became one with the Force while he was still alive.
Yeah.
In order to defeat Abeloth. I mean, he also needed a bunch of other. Well, he worked with the Sith to destroy Abeloth, but that's a whole other.
We don't get into that right now.
But yeah, he did a lot of crazy powerful stuff when you get into the books and Legends and stuff like that. Pause for dog antics.
And so my third, who I was just going to put as my first, and you're going to be like, where the heck did you pull this from?
Oh, boy.
Because here I have been talking all day about how I'm not a Star Wars nerd. And I don't think you have to be nerdy, but Luminara Unduli.
She's cool.
Yeah. And so
I'm proud of you for knowing who that is.
Yeah. There's one huge thing that just gravitated me towards her in terms of most powerful. But one, I don't care what universe it is for whatever, I don't think for whatever reason, but like female fighters are just cool. Like I'd much rather see a female like swordsman whoop a male swordsman than see two macho men go at it. But that's just me.
And she wears cool like headdress stuff.
Yeah. War paint.
Mm-hmm. Although I think those are actually tattoos.
They are tattoos. Yeah. You're right. Sorry. They're tattoos.
She got cool war tattoos.
I like that. I forget what race she is.
I can't remember the name.
It begins with an M. I could have looked up Miralyn. Miralax. Miralyn. I don't know. But like they only train their own species in Jedi. So it's like.
That's why her Padawan was.
It's so dope. The thing that like makes me like her as most powerful is because like she died, right? And then they used her body to draw other people to her because her force was so
her force sensitivity was so high.
So it's like, how many people died and then other Jedi were like, they're still alive because their corpse was radiating force power. Yeah, like so that to me was just cool. That's what I like about her.
That's actually a good point. Now, nerd points. Can you tell me the name of her Padawan?
Beefy Okra. Something like that. Bestie O'Fairy. Blink 182.
Beefy Okra. I mean, you're...
Bestie...
You have offender. Some of the syllables... Right, Barriss Offee.
And he was the dude that blew up a ship, right? Not a dude?
Not a dude.
Girl. But whatever. She's the one that blew up a ship. She blew up a ship.
It wasn't a ship.
It was a freighter. What was it?
You haven't seen season 7.
No.
I can't tell you then. Because I will give you spoilers.
All right.
Barriss Offee plays a big part of... Oh, wait. No, was that season 6?
I still haven't gotten to season 6.
Anymore. Oh. Well,
so I'm going to take... I'm not going to argue with you.
It wasn't a ship.
Okay.
But Barriss Offee does blow something up.
Okay. I should get points for knowing that without seeing it and just gather that information from memes over the years.
Yeah, that's...
Is that worth something?
That is worth something.
And the fact that I knew that her name was Beefy Okra is just astonishing. Astonishing.
Okay, another nerd. Do you know what race... Ahsoka Tano is. She's another female.
Oh, she's so cool.
One. And Addie Gallia is another female.
But everybody's going to be like, Jedi. Oh, you're just talking about Ahsoka because she's popular now, but they're wrong. So
I mentioned Addie Gallia.
What about Daddy's Gallia?
Addie Gallia.
No, I don't remember her race.
Ooh. Sorry, Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a Togruta.
I knew it was a T, if that helps.
Man. Not a Twi'lek.
I knew
Aayla Secura. That's female Jedi.
Listen, I know there's other female. We're not talking about female Jedi right now, but we should do an episode. We could do an episode about female Jedi. That would be sick.
There are some cool ones.
Yeah, not Rey though.
Asajj Ventress, who isn't a Jedi, but she's still very cool.
Luminara. She was my pick, just based off the fact that
in your top three.
I love her. And her corpse was used.
You love her so much, why don't you marry her?
I would if she was alive, but unfortunately she did not know how to revive herself with the Force.
Yeah, so. Which apparently a lot of people do.
Yeah, right? Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, I mean, technically not out of nowhere. It's been in the Star Wars universe for a while. But, right,
but
they could have done a lot better explaining than somehow Palpatine's back. Great, great, best line in Star Wars. Great.
As
that is it.
Hey, look, Ma, I made it from Panic at the Disco playing in the background when he shows up on screen.
Yeah.
So who's your most powerful Sith?
So I will be honest with you. This was a hard one.
Yeah.
This was difficult.
So I don't know how you picked yours. I started out mine with a list and then I just kept narrowing it down.
So I had a couple that I always thought were super cool, and I probably will also have like a top three and then have to narrow it down and have like a couple honorable mentions,
because I feel like we might agree on some of them.
So if we're going most powerful of all time, excuse me, I have to go, and you may hate me for it, but I have to go with Palpatine.
No, that's who I went with too,
because I mean, you can't argue with it. No. I mean, no Sith in all of Star Wars history was able to do what he did.
Yeah.
And I mean, he literally like mastered all of the terrible Sith techniques, you know.
And
like,
did it under the nose
of the Jedi. Did it so well and so sneaky that he blinded the Jedi to where even Master Yoda could not sense what was coming. Master Yoda was smart enough to know that everything was clouded, but he's like, I can't figure out what's going on, but everything's clouded.
Yeah.
And
then, like, that's my one gripe with Yoda, though. It's like, because he's smart. He's not dumb. Eventually, he should have caught on, right?
Right, been like that was something's clouding.
That was just a George Lucas script that it had to be there for the plot to continue.
Plot armor.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fine. It's a necessary yeah, evil.
But like, when you look into the history, like the fact that Palpatine, quick question. Do you know Palpatine's first name?
Sheev.
I'm proud of you.
I got you.
Sheev Palpatine.
What a dumb name.
Yeah. Sheev. But the fact that he even had his own master so deceived that his own master was like, oh yeah, like I'm not worried about you, like I'm so comfortable, I've mastered immortality except for like this one area, but I'm not worried about you, apprentice, in a system that is built for your apprentice to murder your master, but I'm not worried about you.
Yeah, what was it? Like the rule of two. Oh, the rule of two.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the rule of two.
And
who broke the rule of two? Somebody broke it.
So
this is a side road.
Yeah.
We should, well, let's not go down.
Because then I was thinking back to who, now can you tell me who instituted the rule of two?
Hold on. It was somebody from like the Old Republic era, right?
Towards pretty much the end of the Old Republic era.
It wasn't Nihilus, was it? Darth Bane?
If I'm not mistaken, it was Darth Bane, yes.
Dude, he's so cool.
He's cool.
I like his apprentice more than him.
Who's his apprentice?
She's on my list. We'll get to this. Because it's a gripe of mine. Surprise, surprise, another female for me. But back to
Palpatine.
Steve, Sheev, Sidious.
And then the fact, so one of, in my opinion, the worst scenes in Star Wars is also in episode 3, just because it's when they go to the Senate office to arrest Chancellor Palpatine, because the way that it was supposed to be, because Palpatine is such an OP character. As far as his dueling ability, his speed, his power with the Force, he's so OP that he really did kill those two Jedi in like fractions of a second. And then Kit Fisto got like a couple blocks in and then was cut down.
Kit Fisto is super cool. Yeah, I like him. He's on list for one of my favorite Jedi.
Yeah, same.
Not my favorite, but
he's up there.
He's so...
But
I had his action figure. I remember when I got him. Oh my God.
That's awesome. I didn't have his action figure.
Oh my gosh. I got to take you to my parents' house sometime and show you all my Star Wars action figures.
I wonder.
None of them are in the box, so I'm still poor. But boy.
Right. You're like, dude,
we could play with them.
I would be down. Okay. If you didn't know, when we went to Galaxy's Edge.
I'm jealous, by the way.
I mean, I'm in my 30s, and I went and I created a lightsaber.
Do you have it?
No, I didn't bring it today.
No, but like you bought it?
Yeah. Now, I didn't do the fancy. I did like the plastic one because I'm not going to spend like $300-$400.
Oh, it's Disney. I'm surprised the plastic one wasn't $300-$400.
No, but it was like $60 for plastic one. But, okay, so Palpatine, right? Like, if you read the books and stuff, when he did that attack, he moved so fast that he was almost like you couldn't, it was imperceptible to the naked eye. Like, he's that quick. The movies make it look like the Jedi that were there were just like super lame and dumb and just kind of stood there and let him stab them. you know, like the movie didn't do it justice to what he's actually supposed to be, you know.
Exactly.
And then just his force power and everything really is insane. Like, so
there wasn't another Sith in his era of power that had force lightning, right? I knew there were Sith before him.
So Count Dooku.
Oh yeah. How did I forget Dooku him?
Had force lightning. I don't think there was anybody else in
was
his
there nerd fact. Okay. And I'm not going to answer it. And if you don't know the answer, because it goes to who is my favorite Jedi. But can you name the Jedi that had something equatable to force lightning?
Oh, I'm trying to remember what it was called, and I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Plo Koon?
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Because, spoiler alert. It wasn't force lightning, but he had...
And the Jedi were like, you absolutely 100% cannot use this. That. Yeah.
Plo Koon is also super awesome.
Okay, we can't get into him yet because I'm too excited.
Yeah, I'll let you because... Yeah, so anyways, Palpatine, super... I mean, he did what the Sith had always attempted to do. And where some other Sith Lords came close, but he was my number one all time. I mean... Super powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally destroyed the Jedi Order.
Yep. He did.
Yeah.
And before I get your other mentions, I will say that he was the top of my list. In the first iteration, do you know who played Emperor Palpatine?
Oh, the
original
OG
release.
OG original
Because Ian
McDermott.
Yeah. Is that how you say it? I was going to say that, but I figured it had an accent to it.
Ian McDermott.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But the first iteration, if you can ever find it, he looks weird. He almost has like a bionic eye.
My parents have the VHS.
Okay. The original. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't remember their names, I'll be honest, off the top of my head. But I knew it was a woman in prosthetics.
Really?
And it was voiced over by a man. And the woman didn't actually get credit. She wasn't credited in the movie.
How pissed would you be?
I know. Only the voice actor got credited. All I know is that a woman originally played him and then didn't get credit. And then in the end, the voice actor did, but it didn't matter because they only did it for like one thing and then got booted for Ian McDermott, who just reigned supreme.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Supreme Chancellor. Oh. And then somehow returned.
So, yeah. So we both agree on...
Number one. So another one. So Palpatine, I think, is the most powerful Sith. My others in my top three, I don't know how I would rank them as far as power. But I'll say Darth Nihilus, I think, is super awesome. I mean, the fact that the guy was so corrupt from the dark side of the
couldn't
force
stay
that
in his own body.
Yeah. His own body was like,
and he literally just sucked planets. So obviously he was on my list as well.
Yeah. He literally would force drain entire planets.
Yep.
Just to sustain his own life and basically just contained his force essence in a robe and a mask. Like, that's pretty dang powerful.
Yes.
You know, that's like, you know, I think that's pretty wild.
And he had a dope mask.
Yeah, his mask is super cool.
Like, how do you not like that mask?
And, I'm honestly torn. Because those two for sure, and then there's like another, five that I would want to be in my top three, and I'm like...
So are we just doing top two, and agreeing on both of them?
Yeah, because those are,
Now pick a third. We have to argue about something.
Okay. So... I might argue with myself. So there are three that are vying. Well,
first one off the top of your head.
So I'm going to go, and you might not like it, but I am going to go with Vader.
He's my one too.
Wow. We
agreed on everything.
Agreed on our entire top three. Okay, so then we'll go into our honorable mentions, because there have been some crazy Sith.
Yeah.
But... Darth Vader, and the fact that power wise, prior to his injuries, the Emperor Palpatine expected him to be at least twice as powerful as him.
Yeah.
And that is crazy. I mean, we just put the Emperor as our number one most powerful Sith of all time.
Yeah.
But after all his injuries and everything, and like it limited him severely.
After he tore that Achilles, he could never come back from it.
Right.
That ACL injury.
You know,
he got that Brandon Roy.
He needed
effect.
That Tommy John surgery, yeah. But just couldn't get that elbow fixed, you know. So, but the fact that even with how incredibly limited he was in his natural ability and with all his injuries, he still was one of the most powerful Sith. I mean, the fact that he could literally rip ships down out of the sky and tear them apart.
Yeah.
With the Force.
Like, you what? Know.
And he... The Grand Inquisitor, when the Grand Inquisitor died, he literally used the Force to capture his Force spirit and enslave his Force spirit. Like, that's pretty powerful to be like, you're dead, but I'm gonna hold on to your spirit. Yeah, like, it's mine now.
Yeah, this belongs to me.
Yeah.
You can stay dead, but your Force spirit is mine.
Some of the stuff he did, and that makes me wonder, like, what would he have been had he been able to stay whole? Yep. That's the whole reason why he couldn't use like Force lightning, because
where is it going to come from?
Yeah, well, and he's all electronic.
Yeah,
so.
Unless he was like, I don't know, charge himself up with a battery and just let's see what happens.
Yeah,
stick himself in an outlet.
But I mean,
but really, if you look at it that way, because he is mostly Robotronic.
Yeah.
If you bring him down to nuts and bolts, but R2-D2 could have technically killed him, right?
Well, but if R2-D2 could have killed him, why didn't he?
Because how is a droid going to sneak up on Darth Vader?
Because while he
is... No.
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 But, I mean, the fact that he... I mean, he blocked blaster bolts with the Force. He, you know.
Yeah, I know, but R2-D2 could just electrocute him.
Yeah, I wish. Well, I guess he couldn't do it because it was his former master. He had too much of a soft spot.
Come on, R2. You let us down.
You kind of saved us so much trouble. Yeah. Although there is, so, really interesting theory I heard just recently.
Okay.
Is that the Chosen One prophecy doesn't state that it has to be a person or a sentient being. And it talks about what if R2 is the Chosen One, because without his influence and all these things, he didn't save all the right people, open the right things. He was there for the entire journey, the entire way through. What if R2 is...
I can't remember if I've heard that before, but like, I can't disagree.
Yeah. And I'm like, come on, R2, couldn't you have found a better way to do it instead of, you know, mass genocide more than once?
Yeah. My honorable mention is Jar Jar.
Darth Jar Jar.
Yeah, Darth Jar Jar.
I don't believe
it at all, but it's just one of the most fun fan theories ever.
It would have been hilarious had they made it canon. I mean, I would have been super pissed if they made it canon, but it's also hilarious to think about.
I feel like arguably there have been more like OP powered Sith than Jedi. It really makes it really makes no sense that the good guys win.
Yeah. Well, because you think about, so some
hold
honorable,
on that, so.
Honorable mentions. Hold
on. My honorable mentions will come in for my like favorite Sith, probably.
Yeah. And, okay, so it is weird, kind of like you were saying, is there are some really, there are a lot of really cool, really powerful Sith that you're like, oh, and this Sith Lord was awesome, and this Sith Lord was great. And there's only like a couple super awesome, like there's not that many super powerful, cool Jedi. I mean, just my opinion.
Yeah.
It's more like, oh yeah, there was a bunch of Jedi, and then there was, and like this.
And they're cool, but they're not like OP, yeah, rain down misery on people cool.
Yeah.
So who's your
my first honorable mention?
Oh, first, okay.
And actually, I guess he can go on both sides. Is Darth Revan?
Yeah, he's
so, because I mean, and he's kind of a weird one because it, he's good guy, right? Jedi.
Yes.
Goes to maybe a little idealistic. Goes to fight in the Mandalorian Wars. Sees, yep, a lot of horrific stuff and does some bad things. In war, gets turned to the dark side, and then goes off in the unknown regions and discovers like crazy power, comes back super powerful, gets turned by Lord Vitiate.
Yep.
Another, he'll be another honorable mention. But, and comes back as this Sith Lord, does a lot of cool stuff, and then like gets turned back, and when he became a Jedi again and regained some of his memories, and like he could still use both sides of the Force at will, and he's the only person that we know in Star Wars history that can do that, can control both light and dark side of the Force at the same time,
yeah,
at will, and still, like, that's just cool. Yeah, and plus cool. He's also got a cool mask.
That's true.
And he had a purple lightsaber.
Yes.
So I loved play, and I also loved playing the Knights of the Old Republic games. So I loved all the history surrounding.
Sometimes Revan. I think about getting them again, but I'm like, playing them on a new console, they just look horrible.
So I have both of them on my Xbox One, and I still play them.
Okay, next honorable mention.
So I would say Lord Vitiate.
Yeah.
Or the Emperor.
I feel like you can pick any of the Old Republic Sith Lords,
and they're gonna be super cool.
Yeah, as honorable mentions. Yeah. Because like they were just so powerful.
But he ruled for 1,000 years. Yeah. As far as I'm aware, he was the first one to learn essence transfer. And so interesting, did you know that he originally was an actual purebred Sith from the Sith species? But through essence transfer, as he reigned over all the years, he ended up taking on a human form.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And also, did you know that Sith was actually a species, not just
I did know that.
Some people didn't know that. But
I didn't know that like way back when. I think I maybe learned it like, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 years ago. Yeah. But I knew it.
So I think he was just because, I mean,
isn't that why people think Yoda might be a Sith?
So,
or like, could have, like, have you read that fan theory? Like, he's an unknown species, and
but he's not the only one.
Yeah, I know.
He's not even the only one from the prequels.
I know. It's not my theory.
See, I've seen the other theory where, so you see, Zabrax, like Darth Maul, Asajj Ventress, Dathomirians tend
to. They're so cool.
Yeah, they're super cool. I actually really like their race.
I like witches.
They tend to be mostly dark-sided because of the planet they're on, their kind of history and culture. They're almost always dark-sided. I only know of one light-side Zabrak.
I don't know of any, so you're about to teach me something.
I can't remember his name.
I guess you're not going to teach me something.
But he's in the Clone Wars. But there's a theory. You look at Master Yaddle and Yoda. That's funny.
That's why I call Grogu Yiddle.
Yeah. Yaddle, Yoda, and Yiddle. That would be funny. And then there's Grogu, and they're all kind of like these powerful light side users. And there's a theory that they come from like this unknown planet that all their people are very powerfully force sensitive, but they come from a very light side based planet, and so they all tend to
be good,
operate in the light side of the force. Okay. So
I think
that's an interesting theory. Yeah, and we don't know his race, we don't know what planet they come from, so there's no telling. But
so who's your favorite Jedi?
My favorite Jedi is Obi-Wan. Just because he is like the epitome of what a real Jedi is supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, if you look at Anakin's journey and you look at Obi-Wan's journey, they had almost the same journey, yet one became a Sith Lord and one became like one of the greatest Jedi of all time. Because Obi-Wan also almost got kicked out of the Jedi Order when he was young because he wasn't getting chosen as a Padawan.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that high of a performer. And he was going to get sent to be one of the Jedi farmers that, like, uses the Force to help farm.
Scrub.
Yeah.
And that's like Angelia's dream job.
To have Force powers and farm. See, my dream would be to be a Jedi Knight.
That's every boy's dream.
Yeah. And then he ended up crash landing on a planet, on a transport, on a planet with Qui-Gon. They fight some Hutts, and he ends up picking him as his Padawan.
Yep. And we're going to dive into that story with not fully in it, because that leads to something I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. The fact that he actually left the Jedi Order for a period when he was young. You already know Jedi Apprentice series. I loved those books. Those were phenomenal.
Books got me into reading books.
Same.
Like it went Captain Underpants, Jedi Apprentice.
Yeah. Well, and then the fact that he had a secret love, but he didn't betray the order for it. Duchess Satine.
R.I.P.
Yeah. He watched Darth Maul execute her in front of him.
Okay, well, I haven't gotten to that part yet. I just knew that she died.
Oh, crap. Jesus. I keep on forgetting. Sorry, Will.
No, I already knew that.
Okay.
Like I said, like for the amount that I scrolled Reddit and 9gag and like anything else, like I know stuff that happens. Spoilers don't bother me. I'm going to watch the stuff anyway. I actually enjoy things more when I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
But so yes.
You want me to tell you what Barriss Offee blew up?
Yeah, because it's going to bother me.
The Jedi Temple. Not the entire temple, but she bombed a portion of the Jedi Temple, then framed Ahsoka for it.
Yeah, I knew that. That's why Ahsoka thought it was a freighter. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay. But anyway.
Yeah. And the fact that all the same stuff, like his love dying, like he goes through all the same types of like heartbreaks that Anakin did, but he stayed true.
Yeah, he just wasn't like a baby about it.
Yeah. So I just
being said, if my brain was plagued with like the dark side from Palpatine and like Lex died and I was told like inaccurate information, I'd probably be bad too. I'd be like, just the only good thing I had died, so now I'm gonna kill a bunch of younglings.
I mean, I absolutely probably would have turned to the dark side by now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for...
Do you have any other honorable mentions for Jedi?
I mean...
Because I have two honorable mentions for Jedi instead of Obi-Wan, but I'm not going to dive into them. I just want to mention them.
Well, Obi-Wan is my favorite. Yes. The other... why am I forgetting his name right now? The other one that I really like, he was in the Clone War. He was in the movie. Well, he was in Episode 1. Background. He was in the Clone Wars. He, why can I not think of his
name? What color lightsaber?
Green. He's got the yellow stripe across his face. He's actually trained as a Jedi assassin and sent to assassinate Count Dooku, who gets turned to the dark side, partners with Asajj Ventress, falls in love with Asajj Ventress.
Yeah.
And then she ends up turning back, or she ends up turning good to help save him. And she sacrifices herself and gets killed, and that's what kind of brings him out of it and turns him back to the light side of the Force. Why can't I think of his name?
I can't think of it either, so.
Oh my gosh. It's going to bug me. Because he's super cool. Because he's also almost like an anti-hero. Like, he...
Asajj is also pretty dope, by the way.
Asajj is awesome. Like, I was saying, like, she's not super powerful, but she's a super cool character. Yeah,
she was going to be on my list for for favorites.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see if I can find... Like, even, like, the way this describes her, eye color, ice blue, skin color, bone white. Like, oh. Quinlan Vos.
Quinlan Vos. Yes.
How do I forget that? How
do we I don't know. That? I always forget his name. This isn't the first time I've, like, been talking about him and been like, yeah, this dude's super cool, but I can't remember his name. Because he was always a little bit on the outer. He was kind of like Qui-Gon, a little on the fringe for Jedi, like kind of playing with the lines. But he was also always super cool. And then not to mention Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon's always an honorable mention because he's just
awesome. Yeah, but like a lot of things were Qui-Gon's fault, though.
That's kind of true.
So he did not make my list. Because there were too many other people.
That's fair.
So, as we already stated, my favorite was Plo Koon.
Go into Plo Koon. I love Plo Koon. So, like, you...
Like, I knew nothing about him when I first encountered him as a young lad. Because I got his action figure and I saw him and I was like, yeah. Anytime my brother and I did, like, battles, I had Plo. Like, forget about it.
That's awesome.
I did give him a purple lightsaber because I loved purple lightsabers. I'd rip it from Mace.
I did too.
So he just looked better with it.
Did you know originally he was supposed to have a yellow lightsaber?
I did not. That would have been dope.
That would have been super cool.
The only gripe I have with Plo, and it's not him, it's his race. Without the mask breathing apparatus, they're so ugly. Like, they're ugly with it. But, like, without that, but, yeah, that's my only thing against him. But, like,
he looks, without the mask, they look fugly.
Yeah, exactly like that. But, like, from the Clone Wars a lot, like, the missions and how he fights and discovering Ahsoka and mentoring her. And then I guess maybe a little lapse of judgment and having, like, not that he had Anakin be her master, but he didn't stop it. But I get nobody knew it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like you can't be like what we know now and throw it back
right.
then. But my other favorite thing about him was, like, the bond he had with his clone troopers.
Yes.
Like, how much they respected him and, like, he treated them individually. And, yeah. Like, yeah, like, that was cool for me. It's like that stuff. I was like, oh, that dude's sick. And he's just so cool.
He is super
He's a great pilot. And he's a great Jedi fighter. Council. And he's on the Jedi Council. Mm-hmm. And he has that balance of, I think he's more aggressive than intellectual, but he does have the balance too. Like, he's not like headstrong. Let's just run in there and mess up some fools.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why he's my favorite. Like, I can't stop.
So,
oh, the other one was that he was like he turned down being on the Jedi Council first of all, but only accepted it because it was his master's dying wish. Like, I'm always a big fan of, like, take the position. Like, you shouldn't want to have it, but if it's bestowed upon you and people that humbly accept it, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Two other honorable mentions besides Obi-Wan that I'm not going to go deep into. One, Kit Fisto, like we already said.
I love Kit Fisto.
And then Ki-Adi-Mundi.
Cool. Ki-Adi-Mundi, And
the fact that he had a giant head because he was so smart, like, that's not just theory. Like, it is actual fact.
Also, did you know that Ki-Adi-Mundi is one of the few Jedi that is actually married and has a family?
I did not.
So
did he just not love them?
I mean, kind
of. Did he not have attachments? I mean,
pretty much. So his race is actually dwindling and was, like, on the verge of extinction. So at that time, it was considered.
So he took one for
the team? Yeah, at that time, it was considered, like, almost duty for the males in his race to procreate. And so he actually had multiple wives. But yes, he basically would go procreate and then go back to the Jedi Order and be like, have fun with the kids. I don't love you.
Okay. So my favorite Sith, Darth Zana, which
Bane's
Padawan. Bane's one of Bane's apprentices.
Although she was his main one.
She was his main one, but still.
Yeah.
She is just one of them. But then they worked together and killed him. So, like, good on them. That yeah. is, I mean, that's just the way, though, right? That is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
What about Darth Talon? Now, her master was Darth Krayt, who was actually raised by the Sand People. They fought with Luke a lot.
I got you.
Anyway, sorry. I sidetracked from.
And I don't have a good reason she's Darth Zana is one of my favorite, other than double-bladed lightsaber, which is just cool. And then I think part of me like is just mad that her story ended where it did.
I actually don't know
so like
a ton about her. So where did her story
so
end?
So like her and whoever that who was the other one?
Are we talking about Darth Bane or
Darth Bane had Darth Zana as the apprentice and then Krius? Is it Krius? I can't look it up. Look it up, nerd. Why can't I remember names? I should have written it down.
Are you talking about Darth Zana's apprentice, Cognis?
No, she's a traitorous slag.
But she, because he created the rule of two.
Yeah.
So, but Zana had an apprentice.
Okay. So that's where I'm getting the crossover then. Maybe I was thinking of Cognis. All I know is that Cognis betrays her. That's not cool. But anyway, she gets trained by Darth Bane, ends up killing Darth Bane, and then, like, she's the new leader of the...
Dark Lord.
Yeah, she's the Dark Lord of the Brotherhood. But then that's it. And, like...
Nothing cool happens.
It is set up to be, like, an amazing story, and the author has even, like, approached Disney about, like...
Can I do something?
Yeah, and they said no. I'm like, for what? She's a woman. You should... This is what you pay for now. I can get it right. If it was a man.
Star Wars never had any strong female characters before but Disney came along.
Stop it.
You know, they said that when they came out with the race series. And I'm like, Padme?
Yeah.
Leia? Are we forgetting?
Yeah.
Like, some of the most badass women?
Why are you dumb?
Yeah.
Why are you dumb? So, literally, there's no reason for her to be my favorite other than the reasons I said in her name starts with a Z, and that's the honest truth. I am genuinely like, attracted to things that start with the letter of my name just because it's cooler.
Like zucchini?
Zucchini is... I'd rather have zucchini pasta than squash pasta or whatever it's called. My honorable mentions... If I'm going to squeeze them out quick.
Oh, go for it.
Darth Maul, obviously.
I love Darth Maul.
And I could talk about Darth Maul for a while.
We ought to just do a whole podcast.
Okay, I'll say
just about him because he is such a deep character.
Yes. Honorable mention of Xanatos.
Oh!
Qui-Gon's apprentice.
Yes, so, you had me confused there for a second. And then I was like, yeah.
I remember
he's a super cool character.
I remember like the cover art on his book, and he's got the little burn on his cheek.
Yeah,
with the ring.
From the ring. Yeah,
but then like his character arc is phenomenal, right?
Yeah,
because he goes from good to bad to good.
Yeah,
and I was like,
and then analyzes himself.
Yeah, and that was like as a kid before I became what I am today. Like I liked good guys back then. Now I always like villains. It's just whatever.
Right,
they're cooler. But being like, oh yeah, he turned good. That's great. But like, he still always stuck with me. He was cool.
Yeah.
Count Dooku is another honorable mention for Star Wars reasons, but also Christopher Lee reasons.
Christopher Lee, who is the real life James Bond.
The Nazi hunting, shooting, stabbing, heavy metal rocking, Saruman staff wielding, red lightsaber, electric lightning Jedi slash Sith slash everything.
Yeah.
If you can't tell, I'm a huge fan of his.
Dude, Christopher Lee is awesome. If you look into his whole life story, it's like, it's a movie.
It is a movie.
You like, know?
It's almost too... outrageous to be a movie.
Yeah.
Like that quote of Peter Jackson or whoever tell me, like, you got to scream like this as if you're getting stabbed. And he was like, no, I've been stabbed in the back before, and that's the, this is the sound. Yeah, I
he's
need.
Like, this is not what people so that's sound
the,
like.
That's
when
the sound I'm going
to
make. It's like, oh, okay, 92 years old or whatever, yeah. Still rocking in his band.
Yeah. Do you know he also witnessed the last French execution by guillotine?
Yes. I not off the top of my head, but now that you say that, I remember yeah. seeing that now.
Like weird stuff.
Yeah. He's so cool.
Yeah. He's also, which author? He's either related to, it was either J.R.R. Tolkien. Was it Tolkien yep. that he's actually related yeah. to? Yeah. That was, which isn't that cool that he was related to, and then.
Yeah. Damn. So, I mean, like, honorable mention because I did like Count Dooku. I loved his performance and portrayal of him, but just
because
him
he became
as a person.
He was a sophisticated bad guy.
Yeah, but then I also felt bad for him because he was just used literally yeah. from the moment by from Palpatine. He was used and abused, and then he was tossed aside once Palpatine got Anakin.
Yep.
Like no regard.
And
for
you
him.
See the Not, moment when he realizes it and is like, "Oh,
yeah," like.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't even be kept on payroll as, like, an accountant or something. Mm-hmm. It was just like, no, you're dirt, you're dust, bye.
Oh, the weakest link. Goodbye.
Those are mine in a nutshell. And like yeah. you said, Darth Maul, I think we'll just, maybe when we get Joe on here, we can all just Darth Maul it up for a while.
He is...
Because there's so much to him and his history, and I want to get into his home planet, and I want to get into his mother and...
And his brother.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maul and all his facets and everything that goes along with him from... Have you watched Rebels?
Nope.
Oh.
Joe Avila hates me for that.
You have to finish Clone Wars and watch Rebels. Tell I know your wife doesn't... Tell her it's an assignment. Because there's okay. so much stuff that happens.
We've talked about Star Wars for longer than diabetes.
Are you serious? Here's the thing is...
Note to everybody, anytime Zach Jenkins is on the information for the podcast, just expect at least an hour and 20-minute episode. I don't know where we're at. Oh, we're doing your favorite Sith now.
It would have to be, it's between Revan and Darth Maul. But even also, I just love the way that they went with, oh, sorry, we'll have to do another series that's all about non-Force-sensitive characters. Because there's a lot of
non-Force-sensitive
characters that I am like, and one of the best villains in Star Wars is a non-Force-sensitive character, but you have to watch Rebels.
Okay. Yeah, the longer we got into this episode, I realized that I think Star Wars episodes are going to be a standing episode with you and me and whoever
and
else wants to
join
in.
Lots of other people.
So, I mean, if anybody listening doesn't like Star Wars, I'm sorry, but maybe by the end of the episode you will. So who's your favorite Sith?
So it would either have to be Maul or Revan, just because yeah. they're super cool. And they're relatable. I like villains. Well, I don't know how relatable Maul is, but he's complex.
I would argue that Maul is relatable, though. And I mean, obviously,
maybe not as in his beginnings.
No, but I think definitely in his relationship with Palpatine.
Oh, absolutely.
He's relatable yeah. in that sense. I don't think he's relatable in the, you know, in every aspect. But that dynamic relationship, I think everybody can be like, oh, yeah.
I've been manipulated like that before.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They're super cool. They're both very... complex characters.
Yes.
And I really like Maul is also relatable in that I can understand why he had his hateful drive, like against Obi-Wan and all that stuff. Like I you can understand it, you know, and see where a person could get that, you know. But like I don't know, they're just super cool. Those would probably be my top two.
Yeah. So that was our first ever Star Wars episode, and Zach is fist pumping right now. So he enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And I think either way, we're going to be putting out more of these because, I mean, Star Wars is a huge part of my life, his life, everybody's life, and we can talk about it together. If you don't like Star Wars, still listen to us. still listen to my other episodes and then try to watch Star Wars and enjoy it. Cause like
you're missing out.
Yeah, it slaps. But for now, thank you guys so much for listening. Keep an eye out for future episodes weekly coming out on Wednesdays. Send me a message if you have something fun you want to talk about or if you want to come on and discuss things yourself. Instagram, Facebook, Buzzsprout kind of website deal. There's a link tree, all that good stuff. Follow the links in the description. Thank you so much for listening.